Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110-993 WVT, Brent Winterbull Show. Happy to welcome back to the show. It's been far, far too long since we visited. I think it was back during the election was the last time we caught up. Spencer Kimball, Emerson College Bowling, joining us now. Good to have you back here, Spencer.
Brad, always good to hear your voice.
It is great to be heard. Now, I have a question for you. I'm seeing all these polls that are out there. It was devastatingly negative for the Biden-Harris team that came out over the weekend. I know Suffolk's done polling and USA Today has done polling. What is the fundamental issue here? Is it that the administration is out of touch as it relates to inflation, the economics of what we're living in with the supply chain right now, and they've sacrificed it for paying too much attention to the Build Back Better plan? What's going on here with these numbers?
Well, I would say overall there's a, you know, D, all of the above issue. Obviously, when Joe Biden became president, there's a honeymoon period for a president, and his popularity was a plus 10. Now we have it as a negative 10. So over the course of about 8-9 months, we've watched his popularity drop, and part of it is based on his agenda. Remember, he comes in with a coalition of both progressives and liberals, and frankly, a lot of the progressives aren't seeing enough being done, and they've lost some support for him. So he's losing it from his base, not just from that moderate wing within the party. And that's got to be a concern, not just to him, but to Democrats overall, because if you look at what's happening in New Jersey and Virginia,
right,
you could argue that was a, you know, an offshoot of it, that without that energy from that group of voters, Democrats might struggle in a lot of states by 13. You know, these are 13-point swings we saw in Jersey and in Virginia. What if we start doing that in congressional districts and in other states? You're looking at beyond a shellacking in the House from 2010. You're looking at 75 seats potentially. So
wow.
That's the big concern for the Democrats here is how much will fall out in a midterm election. We know incumbent presidents are going to lose seats. Mm-hmm. Now the question is how many seats are the Democrats going to lose?
Are we seeing the beginning of a spate of the R word, retirements? Certainly Patrick Leahy, Vermont, he says he's not running for re-election. Jackie Speier, who's been in the Congress since forever, out in California, admittedly, it's a left-leaning district. It's a left-leaning state, and she'll probably just be replaced by another progressive or a liberal. But what about this? I mean, these are people who have very large names that have decided to pack it in on this upcoming election.
Well, we've obviously seen some Republicans, right? We've got in North Carolina, we've got in Ohio. So you get these retirements. Frankly, Leahy's the oldest member of the, you know, he was the president of, he was the longest serving. So at some point it has to end. But with that said, I do see that there's going to be writing on the wall, particularly for members of Congress. You're not going to swing a 30-point Democratic district, but if that district is now 20 points, what's going to happen to these other areas of the country that are tightening or changing? So I think similarly to what we saw in 2018, and I think this is going to look more like 2010 at this point, where the Democrats, you know, lost huge numbers. At this point, that's what it looks like is going to happen based on the polling. Mm-hmm. And the polling suggests somewhere between like a 7-9 point Republican lead in congressional races. Well, that was what the number was in 2010 when they picked up 63 seats.
Right.
If that number drops down to 2-3 points, well, maybe we're looking at a 20 or 30 seat swing. But any way you cut it, it's most likely the Republicans will be taking over the House in the midterm.
What is the driver of the frustration? Is it the economy? Is it supply chain? Is it inflation? Is it an aggregation of everything, including Afghanistan and the border? I mean, is it possible to unpack those issues, Spencer?
I would say that they're all interconnected. Obviously, you've raised some major issues, but you know what you didn't mention was COVID.
Yeah.
And I think that the biggest issue with COVID is that, A, it impacted everybody across the country. This isn't some act of God that only happened in California or down in, you know, Florida. This is everybody is impacted by COVID. And I think you're seeing the frustrations begin to boil over where yes, we're frustrated, but nothing has been done. And in a lot of communities, students have fallen back. You know, look at grade schools, middle school. I'm seeing it across the country. People are don't want to do standardized tests because they're afraid they're going to fail them. And I'm like, well, that's what we need to do with a standardized test for is measurement. And if we are failing them, we better fix that. And I think you're seeing a lot of frustration at the kitchen table, both on the economy, but, you know, dealing with families, we saw it in Virginia, the idea, the education. So I think there's a lot of things boiling in this country that haven't really gotten the news, but they're being discussed at the kitchen tables, and that's what's hurting the Democrats.
Final question. Very generous with your time, as always. Spencer Kimball joining us. Are you buying into this parlor intrigue that's going on in the White House, vice president, president, that back and forth stuff? Or is that noise and not signal, to steal a line from Steve Bannon?
Yeah, I don't know enough. Insides of that conversation. But the biggest concern is that if I'm on the Democratic side, is that I need an issue. I need something to talk about. And it can't just be against Trump. It can't be, you know, what is it that you're voting for? And that's where they really are having an obstacle on connecting with that message. If you remember in 2018, they had a very clear message about health care and that they would go up to, you know, Democrats would go up and say, you're going to take away my health care. I have a pre-existing condition. How dare you? And a lot of voters said, how dare you? And they voted in the Democrats. I don't see the Democrats using that line of messaging. In fact, it's really difficult to find what is their message. And without a clear message, it's going to be a referendum on the incumbent and on the party in power, despite it being a small majority, still the party in power that they're going to have to answer for. And I think that's what, you know, their big concern.
Great stuff. We appreciate your time. I know this is the first of many conversations to come. Always appreciate your insights, my friend.
Well, we'll be following your races down there as well, so we'll be back in touch.
Come on down and hang out with us, Spencer. We'd love to have you, all righty?
Look forward to it, Brett. You have a great day.
Thanks, you too. That's Spencer Kimball. I'm Brett Winterbull.